Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Ezekiel 16, the Bible said this in verse number 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abomination, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out into the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Father, I love you today, and I thank you, God, for your blessings. Father, thank you, Lord, for this great work that we've heard about today. Father, by this missionary family, and I pray, God, that you would continue to help them. God, thank you, Lord, that we're able to help, Lord, in the buildings there, and God, we're able to invest in the ministry there, in the country that they're working in. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us today. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd be with those in the nursery this morning. I pray, God, that you'd bless them, Father. And Lord, as we preach in here today, Lord, I pray that we'd have liberty to preach. I pray, God, that you'd bring back our mind and our remembrance, Father, the things that we've studied. God, most of all, we pray, God, for that person that's sitting here that don't know you as their personal Savior. God, would you please speak to them? God, would you please show them their need of you? God, please save them today. God, we know you're able to do that, and we pray that you would. God, we'll be careful to give you the praise and you the glory and you the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to look into verse number 6 and preach out of it for just a little while this morning, where the Bible said this, and when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. And I want to look at this verse and give you just a simple thought out of it this morning. When you come to this chapter in the Bible, you that studies the Word of God knows that he is speaking about the nation of Israel here in chapter number 16. Matter of fact, you'll look in the first 14 verses. There is the experience, or Israel experiences a great love from a great God. And can I say something to you this morning? Just like the nation of Israel has experienced a great love, you and I also can experience that great love. When you go into verse number 15 through verse 34, Israel committed a great sin. In verse 35 through verse 42, Israel suffered a great discipline. But when you close the chapter out, you'll find that Israel will experience a great restoration. And can I say this to you this morning? In studying the life of the nation of Israel, and whenever we look at it in Bible times, it really reminds us a lot of our life today. You say, well, preacher, how do you get that? Well, Israel was on the top and on the bottom, on the top and on the bottom. They was in Egypt. They was in the wilderness. They was complaining. They was shouting. And boy, that's the way it is a lot of times with us. To put it in our language, we're an emotional roller coaster a lot of times if we just really want to be honest with each other. Israel here, whenever we come to this, in these first 14 verses, Israel is going to experience a great love from God. When we begin to look into this and we begin to read about this, God here in the book of Ezekiel gives what we may even would consider a parable in the New Testament. He begins to talk about this baby that is left out in the middle of the field and nobody cared for it, nobody swaddled it, nobody loved on it, nobody washed it. This baby is simply left out into the middle of the field. And my personal opinion of this baby is that the baby is dead. Now, you may say, well, preacher, how do you come to that conclusion? Why did he say live if it wasn't dead? I really believe in all of my heart this baby is dead in the field. And a lot of people would pass by it and say this right here, there is no use to even fool with this baby. The baby's dead. There's no need to try anything. Nobody cared for it. The Bible even said that. Nobody even cared for this baby, even from the time that it was born. Can I run a parallel and preach to you just a minute on that baby this morning? That baby resembles you and I today. You see, when we was born, we was born in sin. For by one man sin entered into the world, so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, you and I was in the same shape one day in our life. I'm sure that there's some in this room today would say there was others that didn't care about them. There was others that said that they would never amount to anything. They would never accomplish anything. If you was to see some of them today and you told them you was in church and you was serving God, man, it would blow them away. What happened? Here's what happened. There was a day that somebody came to where you was at and it was the sweet Holy Spirit of God and showed you your need of a good Savior, and you got saved, and you was quickened and made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Note four things with me this morning, and we'll go eat supper. Not supper, we'll eat lunch. Number one, we'll eat supper after church tonight. Y'all probably don't know what I'm going to eat for supper after church tonight, but just in case you didn't, it's probably going to be eggs and French fries. That's a Sunday night tradition. Don't say you don't like French fries with eggs if you've never eaten them, okay? It's like guacamole and strawberries. Number one this morning, that's really good. You ought to try. Number one, watch this. What did your Bible say in verse number 6? Bible said this, and when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood live, yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood live. Number one, I want you to see this. I want you to see the pursuer this morning. The pursuer this morning. What did the Bible say? The Bible said this, when I passed by thee, when I passed by thee. Hear me and hear me well. I understand that you may have come to church wanting a change in your life. I understand the day that you got saved, you was wanting the Lord to move into your life. But here is the only reason. It's because he came to where you was at. You see, this baby was in a condition where it couldn't get up and go to where anybody was at. Matter of fact, with this baby being dead, this baby had no hope in anybody else. Oh, but somebody saw something in that baby that nobody else saw. Somebody else said, you know what? There's somebody that I can do something with. And the pursuer was God. God came to where the baby was at. And God spoke to that baby. I sure am thankful this morning for the night that I walked in into a church house, lost, and I feel like preaching this morning, lost and on the road to hell. My daddy was a preacher. We was in a youth camp he was leading, but I was lost and on the road to hell. I'll never forget that night when I got lost. Oh, but I sure am thankful there was somebody besides my daddy there, and somebody besides my mama there. Oh, I sure am thankful that the sweet Holy Spirit of God showed up that night at the church house and showed me my lost condition. I'm glad he came to where I was at. I couldn't go to him. There was nothing good I could do within myself. But I'm glad he came to me. He came to pursue her this morning. It was God that came to where I was at. Oh, yes, this baby's dead. This baby can't get up and run. This baby has no hope in the world's eyes. Oh, but there was somebody that had hope for the baby. Amen. You know what? It'd do you real good this morning. It'd do you real good just to slow down a minute this morning, then go back in your mind to the day that you got saved. It'd do you real good this morning just to stop a minute and forget about everything that's going on around you and go back into your mind of the place you was at and what was going on in your life when God came to where you was at. I'll never forget the night I got saved, July 20th, 1994. I'll never forget it. I went to church that night because my mom and daddy made me go to church that night. I had no option whether to go to church that night. I had to go to church that night. And you say, did you want to go to church that night? Nope, sure didn't. But mom and daddy made me go. And I got to church that night, and this is a long time ago, so don't nobody judge me. But if I was going to go, and if I had to go, I was interested in one thing, Brother Tim. It was youth camp, and there was about 100 teenage girls there. And I was going to get every one of them's phone number, their landline. Wasn't no cell phones back in. Wasn't no texting back in. I'm telling you, I'm being as honest as I mean. God was the furthest thing from my mind that night. I could care less about God. I was a good kid, but boy, I could care less about God. I was a little mischievous every once in a while. We used to hide in graves, and usually when they dig a grave, they put a piece of plyboard over it. And I lived beside the cemetery growing up. It was probably 150, 200 graves in it. And we go find a stick in the woods or a backer stick where they'd drive up mater plants. And we'd slide that piece of plyboard back and we'd jump in that grave. We'd take a piece of that stick and we'd slide that plyboard back, Brother Kevin, we'd leave us a gap. And when them gray-haired saints came to visit the dead, we'd holler out from in there, and some of them didn't go to the altar on Sunday, and I promise you they needed to after what I heard them say in the cemetery. They just didn't know it was a preacher's boy in that grave hollering at them. But anyway, I didn't care about God. I didn't care about the things of God. I could quote Bible verses because I went to a Christian school, and we had to, didn't we, Miss Tina? We had to quote Bible. We had to write them out and put all the punctuation right in it, or Don Fellows would count it wrong. But I'm going to tell you right now, I was lost. And on my way to hell that night, I walked in that church. Now, I could care less about God, but boy, I'll never forget, it's about 10 o'clock that Wednesday night, and church was still going. I mean, it was still going strong. And I was thinking, man, if Daddy would just close the service out, whatever this is that's bothering me, it'd be gone. I knew what it was. I'd heard preachers talk about the Holy Spirit convicting you. And boy, I'll never forget that night. I had all I could take, and I got out of the pew, and I made my way through the back door and went to the adult men's prayer room and knelt on my knees and asked God to save me. Why? Because He pursued me. He came after me. And you know what? Somebody's interested when they come after you. I give this, and Miss Leslie will get mad at me, but first time I saw her, that I remember seeing her. I'd saw her before then, but I remember seeing her. Y'all know what I'm saying right there. It was in October of 1998. And we was having camp meeting at the church, and she walked by. And whenever she walked by, Clayton Maynard was standing beside of me. I looked at him and I said, I'm going to marry that woman one day. He said, you've lost your mind. He was in my wedding, and when we said, I do, I turned around and said, I told you so. Are you with me? That's a true story. I told him, I said, I'm going to marry her. But I didn't know who she was. So whenever she left, I got her license plate number. Daddy and the sheriff was best friends. Jack Henderson at the time, he was best friends. So I was going to find out who that was. Well, that was a Thursday or a Friday afternoon. And Sunday afternoon, I was standing at the house and a deputy car come pulling up. And I got to going back in my mind, even though I was saved and I was already called to preach, I was still mischievous every once in a while. I got to going back through my mind and thought, well, I hadn't run from nobody in the past day or two, have I? And this guy pulled up and his name was Jeff Hobson. Jeff got out of the car. He walked up to me and he said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm just standing here. What are you doing? He said, my sister wanted me to come over here and give you her number and say, call her if you wanted to. She pursued me. She was interested in that good-looking young preacher that was standing out there that night. She was pursuing. Y'all with me? I was going to pursue her. I'd already started the means, but here's what I want you to see this morning. You pursue something you're interested in. God was interested in you. God was the pursuer. It was God this morning. Well, now let's look at the pursued. Who is the pursued this morning? He said, when I pass by thee, it was a specific individual. You see, the world may see nothing in us, and the world may think that we're worth nothing. But he pursued me. I like what David said. Matter of fact, I think it's 17 times that there's personal pronouns in Psalms 23. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You see, that night, out of all the people that was there, you know who he was interested in that night. I know he was interested in all of them, but he was interested in me. Hear me and hear me well. God is interested in you today. It don't matter where you've been. It don't matter the life that you may have lived. It don't matter the life that you may be living. It doesn't matter where you're at or what you've done. This baby's laying out in the middle of the field, polluted in its own blood, and nobody cared about it. Oh, but somebody pursued that baby. Aren't you thankful this morning that you was the one that was pursued one day? Aren't you thankful that Jesus came to where you was at? Number one, I see this. I see the pursuer. I've got to hurry this morning. Number two, I see the pursued, but watch this. Number three, I see the pollution. See the pollution, you can't get by. He said, when I saw thee polluted in thine own blood. Polluted in thine own blood. You can't get by this pollution. I've already made this statement, but let me say it again. Wherefore by one man, sin entered into this world. And so that death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Can I say that to you again? For that all have sinned. You know what every one of us sitting in this room is today? We're polluted sinners. If you go all the way back to Adam, you'll find out that it's a polluted bloodline. Because Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. For by one man, Adam, sin entered into this world. Every person sitting here today, I want you to hear me. We're polluted without God. And I'm going to say more about that in just a minute. But we're polluted without God. There's nothing that I can do within myself that would ever earn me the right to go to heaven. There's no way that I can ever work my way into heaven. I am polluted. Amen. It's okay to say amen right there. Y'all act like you're scared to say amen right there, and some of y'all is really wanting to shout. I'm polluted. You're polluted. Every one of us sitting here today is nothing but unworthy sinners without the grace of God. That's what we are today. This baby's pollution today. I find it very interesting the way the author says this, polluted in thine own blood. In thine own blood. It's, hey, look, you said, preacher, I'm a good person. Really, let's look what the Bible says. There's none good. No, not one. So, but preacher, I try to help my neighbors. Well, that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, it's scriptural to do that. Well, preacher, you know what? They've been people in their times of need, and I've given to them. Preacher, I give to the church. Preacher, you don't know how much money. I even put in the offering plate this morning. Great, I appreciate that. I promise you we'll put it to good use. We'll keep the lights on at the church and try to keep the lights on in churches around the world. Thank God for 50 missionaries God allows us to support monthly. But you'll never buy your way to heaven. You'll never buy your way there. But preacher, I plan to come tomorrow night and I'm going to help hang sheetrock, or I'm going to help trim bushes, or preacher, I can't do all of that, but I'm going to come be moral support. I hope you do. Man, we'll eat and we'll make a pot of coffee, probably about 15 pots before the evening's over, but we'll make coffee and sit around and drink coffee and have a good time in fellowship. But that's not going to get you to heaven. You're polluted. You're polluted today. But preacher, my daddy was a good person. My daddy is too. My grandpa was a preacher. My great-great-grandpa John was a preacher. There's 17 preachers in my family right now. Not counting my mama. But that's never going to get me to heaven. I am polluted in my own blood. The night I got saved, this is the truth, the night I got saved, Brother Matt, I could quote you the Romans Road of Salvation. I could, matter of fact, I could quote more scripture the night I got saved than probably most of the adults in the church that night. All I've ever known my whole life is church. That's all I know. I don't know nothing else. All I know is the life of a pastor's kid and a preacher's kid. That's what I've been my whole life. My daddy pastored my whole life up to just a few years ago when he came here and joined our church and now works as an evangelist. And all I know is church. I cut my teeth on a red-back church hymnal and a black-back Scofield Bible. It's all I know, but hear me. I would have died and went to hell if I hadn't got saved. I sung in the youth choir. I sung in the adult choir. I sung special songs. I worked a bus route. But you want me to tell you the reason I worked a bus route? Because my mom and daddy made me work a bus route. I worked a bus route. Matter of fact, the church that I grew up in, on a normal Sunday morning, we'd run between 100 and 150 just on the buses. But that night, when I was pursued by the good God of glory, I realized that none of that accounted for anything. That I was nothing but a worthless sinner. But a worthless sinner in need of a worthy Savior. I see the pursuer. I see the pursued. I see the pollution. We're living in a society today that wants to look over that. Just go to church and give a little money to the church and help your community and everything will be fine. No, if that's all you ever do, you'll die and go to hell one day. You'll die and go to hell. You say, preacher, that's strong. Open rebuke is better than secret love's what the Bible said. We'll die and go to hell. We're polluted without Him. Watch this. He said, when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast polluted in thy blood. Number four, and I'm done this morning, I see the power. I see the power this morning. What was it? He had the power to say, live. Let me just read on. The Bible said in verse number 7, I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxed and great. Thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now, when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, the time was the time of love. You might want to circle that in your Bible. That's really good right there. And I spread my skirt over thee. Boy, I wish I had time to preach all of that. He said, I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee and anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with a bordered work and shod thee with badger skin. I girded thee about with fine linen and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments and I put bracelets upon thy hands and a chain on thy neck. I put jewels on thy forehead and earrings in thine ears and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was as fine linen and silk and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. Look what he said in verse 14. Thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, and it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. I see the power. Here's the power in closing today. Miss Tina, will you come start playing soft? He took something that was dead and worthless. Are you hearing me? And made it into a beautiful creation for all the world to see. He took something that was dead and worthless and turned it into a beautiful creation for all the world to see. And you know what Christ wants to do with your life today? He wants to do the same thing. You may be saying, well, preacher, I remember for 5 years, Leslie and I worked with Rock of Ages Prison Ministries. And man, I've seen a lot of people down through the years in that their life was just in shambles and said, there's no hope. And I've been able to take a Bible and show them hope and see them get saved. But can I move past that? I've been able to watch God transform the lives of individuals over the past 17 years here at Amazing Grace and what God's done in their life. Can I tell you about one? And we'll go home. On Friday, I was sitting at the hospital. Miss Dawn was having surgery. Brother Randy was there. Miss Naira and Miss Hannah and Miss Regina. I about forgot her name. Miss Leslie. And we got to talking about Craig Golden. You that's been here a long time or even from our community knows the name Craig Golden. Now, I'll never forget the night Craig Golden got saved. It was a Wednesday night. We was in the old building. It was in 2016. Church had broke out in revival. We was in the second week of it. Boy, 2016 was a hard year, but was an amazing year at the same time. June and July of that year, matter of fact, it was this day, which is July the 8th, 2016, that we set up the gospel tent for the first time at Northwood. That meeting went 5 weeks. There's over 200 saved in that meeting. Some of y'all sitting in this building got saved in that meeting. Matter of fact, we got preachers pastoring churches today out of our church. That's where God changed their life at. And called them to preach. But old Craig come out that night. And before, when I had talked to Craig, Craig would always bring up his past, Brother Lloyd, and he would say, well, this and this and this. And then he'd say, but preacher, I'm a good feller. Preacher, I'd help you. And I'm going to tell you something. Before Craig got saved, I could call Craig Golden at midnight, and he'd stop what he was doing. He'd be sleeping at midnight. But he'd come running to do anything he could to help me. God give me favor with him, and man, we loved each other, and I'd do the same thing. But that night he got saved. I'll never forget that Thursday. By lunchtime on that Thursday, I can't tell you how many people called me from this community in Mount Airy. They called me from the mower shop in Mount Airy. Said, hey, Craig Golden's been over here. And I said, really? He mowed yards. That's not an uncommon thing. They said, no, there's something different about Craig. Said he come over here today and said he was crying when he walked through the door. I said, was he really? Well, what did he say? And they said, oh, Craig just got to squalling and crying, and all he could say was, last night I got saved. God changed my life last night. Boys, you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. Boy, everywhere Craig went, he would tell people about God. Matter of fact, we was talking Friday at the hospital. They began telling me about different people he had witnessed to. And somebody came over to his house not long before he died. And they said he cornered him up out there in the yard. Said, let me tell you about a night I went to church and God changed my life. And Craig would tell them about the night God saved him. Tell you what happened. He come to a place in his life that Wednesday night where he realized that within his own self he was polluted. But somebody pursued him. Somebody came to where he was at. Nowhere will you find that the clay gets out of the mud and goes running to the potter's house, but the potter always goes to where the clay's at and gets the clay and begins working on the clay. And here's what's been happening to some of your lives. Hey, the pursuer's been stopping by saying, hey, look, I want to change you. I want to make something new out of you. I want to make a new creature out of you. I wish. And we got to go. I'm hungry. But I wish we had time and I could just point out two or three this morning. Say, won't you just stand there for about 5 minutes and tell them about what God's done in your life? Would you just tell them about where you used to be at, the life you used to live? Won't you just tell them about that night on the motorcycle coming down 89 that you said, God, if you'd just let me get back one more time. And tell you what old Lloyd would say this morning. He'd stand up and he'd say, boy, I sure am glad that God came to me in the mess that I was in the polluted mess, rotten, vile mess that I was in, and got me out of it and changed my life. Oh, yes. Wish I could just go around to some. Say, won't you tell about that day God came to where you was at? God came to where you was at. God came to, what about that day riding down the road in that car, Bailey, going to Wilmington after God took your daddy home to be with him, but you realized the only way you was ever going to see him again was to be saved. And instead of getting bitter at God and mad at God and giving up on God for taking your daddy as a teenage boy, you got saved in a car going down the road. Amen. That's what he'll do to you this morning. He'll change your life. He took that baby and now, that nation of Israel, boy, I don't have time to preach all this. Look at the nation of Israel, what God done with them. That's what God wants to do with your life. Now on Sunday mornings when youth church is going on, instead of a young man being bitter at God for taking his daddy at a young age, Bailey's in youth church. Amen. Now instead of being in the mess of the world, you're sitting at a church for you to preach. What are you saying? I'm just saying this. God will come to where you're at. And God will change your life. I remember the day that he said, live. When thou wast polluted in thine own blood. So we ought to take that recess and just shout a while this morning for the day that God said, live in our life. Father, I love you.